Today, we're going to look at the final letter, the last letter that Jesus wrote to the church in Laodicea. Please give your attention to the reading of God's living and life-giving word, beginning with chapter 3, verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God abides forever. Dear Lord, we thank you for your everlasting word. We give you praise, and at first we may have difficult time seeing how the situation in Laodicea fits our situation. But Lord, give us your Holy Spirit so that we may be able to bridge the distance that separates Laodicea from our context in 2016. You do remind us through your servant Apostle Paul that all scripture, not just the Old Testament, but the entire canon, including the last book of the Bible and everything in it, has been breathed out by you. These words are God-breathed, and they're profitable, they're useful, they're relevant for us in our situation, for reproof and for correction, so that the men and women of God may be made competent and equipped for every good work. Lord Jesus, we want to be equipped for your purpose, for your kingdom advance. So give us understanding as we look at this word. Help us to apply it. May these living words breathe life into us so that we may walk passionately as your disciples in our context, in our culture. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I know this letter sounds very harsh at first, and it sounds pretty different from the other letters. There's some encouraging letters in the opening chapters of Revelation, but this letter is pretty different. Something very urgent and serious about this letter. I would say exceptionally urgent and serious about the last letter. But when you look at all the letters as a whole, we begin to realize that even though this is a new letter and a different letter, they're really exactly the same as all the rest, all the six letters that came before this. And what Jesus is doing in this letter is the same thing. He sees and Jesus assesses the current spiritual condition of the church. And Jesus so generously offers his spiritual resources and strength so that the church can grow, become more faithful, healthy, and more missions-minded. And that's important for us to know, because I know that in 2016, you as committed church members do want to see our church grow and thrive. You want to see our church become more healthy and more faithful. Then we would do very well to pay attention to the important truths in this letter to grow and thrive this year. We need to apply this letter by living truthfully. That is the main message that comes to us from today's verses. We need to resist the temptation to live falsely, and by the grace of God, we need to live truthfully. And we're going to see that is the path to growth, health, and faithfulness. So I want us to turn to the beginning of the letter. I want us to look at the introduction, and I want you to notice how Jesus introduces himself, and we all know by now that all the introductions and all the seven letters, they're so important. They're so meaningful. There's a reason why Jesus introduces himself in the way he does in every single one of his letters. And today's introduction is no exception. And listen to what Jesus tells them. And Jesus says to us in verse 14, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness." That's the introduction. So right away, right off the bat, Jesus introduces himself as the truth speaker or the truth teller. Jesus is saying that he is the faithful and true witness, and he is bearing testimony. His words are the words of the Amen, which in Hebrew means truly. And elsewhere in John chapter 14, Jesus says, "I am the truth." So we need to ask, why this introduction in this letter? What's Jesus' reason and purpose? And the reason why Jesus does this is because this church, this ancient church in Laodicea, wasn't living truthfully. That was their problem. They were living falsely. And what that means is they were listening to the lies that were out there in their culture. These lies were coming at them, and they were embracing and imbibing. They were taking in these lies. And as a result, their lives were in harmony with these lies. They were being fooled and tricked. And Jesus is going to this church, and Jesus is telling them, "Church, wake up to the truth." Listen to what Jesus tells them. Verse 17, he says to this church, "For you say," or "for you think, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." You see, this church, they were believing in lies. They were being fooled. They couldn't see their true condition. These Christians, or maybe I should say these churchgoers, they were looking at their job security. They were looking at their material and financial stability and prosperity. And they just couldn't see. They couldn't see just how wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked they were. And Jesus, in today's text, is bringing the truth to them. Jesus is going to them and speaking the truth in love. It's such a confrontational letter. So, what exactly was happening in Laodicea? What was happening inside this church? And you can say that what was happening was the exact opposite of what was happening in the church of Smyrna. Do you remember that congregation in chapter 2 and what Jesus said to that church? To that church, Jesus says, "I know your tribulation and your poverty." But Jesus says to them, "But you are rich." But he said the exact opposite. You see, that church, unlike the church in Laodicea, was so poor materially and financially. But that church, unlike the church in Laodicea, was so rich spiritually. They were the polar opposite. And in chapter 2, we saw the church in Smyrna living truthfully. We saw them living for Jesus the truth. They were consecrating their lives for Jesus the truth. They were devoting their lives for him. They were setting their lives apart for Jesus' will, his kingdom, his cause, and his pleasure and his glory. We saw the church walking in that manner. They took their relationship with Christ so seriously, which is to say, they took Jesus' words in the Gospel of John so seriously. Jesus once said, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he it is who loves me." And the church of Smyrna, they were loving Jesus in their culture. They were clinging to God's word in their culture. They were obeying and living out God's word in their culture, even though doing that meant suffering the consequences. We saw them paying such a heavy price. They were suffering the consequences for refusing to bow down to the Roman emperor. They were suffering the consequences for refusing to bow down before idols, People were bowing down before the patron deities and their trade guilds. But this church wasn't compromising. And as a result, they were making some costly sacrifices on the altar, professionally, financially, and socially. Now, at the time in this region called Asia Minor, and Laodicea was in this region of Asia Minor, there were churchgoers who were compromising. We looked at this already. There were church-going doctors, bronze workers, linen dealers, and shrine dealers who were compromising. They were bowing down before Caesar. They were bowing down before the patron deities and their trade guilds. And as a result, they were stable. They were prosperous. They were safe. They were getting ahead in life. They were members in good standing in their trade guilds. You see, there's a reason why the church in Laodicea was so well-to-do, prosperous, and secure. And these churchgoers, they were trying to justify their actions and lifestyle, and we saw the false teachers supporting them in their actions and lifestyle. But the church of Smyrna, right, that's not what they were doing. They were staying loyal and true to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became their greatest treasure. Jesus was their great pearl. For that pearl, to keep and guard that pearl, they were willing to let go. They were willing to sacrifice everything else. And so they became poor. And so they tasted tribulation. But not the church we're looking at today. That's not what was happening. The exact opposite was what was happening. You see, the church we're looking at today, they were so smug and complacent. They were saying, I need nothing. They had fat bank accounts. But as a matter of fact, in actuality, what we're looking at in today's letter is that this church too, they were paying the price, you see. They were also paying such a heavy price, and it was a spiritual price. They were paying the most devastating price of all. They were in such dire spiritual need, even though they were saying, I need nothing. You see, Jesus, the head of the church, was disgusted with them. That was the price that they were paying. Listen to what Jesus says to this church. Verse 15, Jesus tells them, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, Jesus says to them, I will spit you out of my mouth. Do you hear that? Jesus was embarrassed of this church. He was fed up with this church. He was so unhappy with this church. You see, the Laodiceans, from Jesus' point of view, they were just like their water. That's what Jesus is saying in verse 15. In the city of Colossae, which was near Laodicea, people had access to cold water. They had access to cold mountain streams. And in Hierapolis, which was another nearby city, people had access to the hot springs. And people believed that these hot springs were medicinal and therapeutic. But the water in Laodicea was disgusting. It was barely drinkable. It was repulsive. It was embarrassing because this water had to be piped in from a distant water source. And Jesus was telling this church, you're just like your water. You repulse me. Very shocking words that our gracious Lord and Savior would say that to his church. You see, they weren't living truthfully. That's not the way they were walking. Their lives weren't in harmony with Jesus, the truth. They were walking falsely. They were living falsely. Their lives were in harmony with lies. So what was the lie? What was that lie that was capturing this church? And in fact, what's that lie that's capturing today's culture right now in 2016? The same lie that can capture our church. What lie is that? What lie was crippling this church so that Jesus would say something so shocking as, I will spit you out of my mouth? When I was in middle school, sometimes you heard my classmates saying to each other, get a life. Loser, get a life. And sometimes, I don't think people say that anymore, but in junior high you sometimes heard that, and sometimes people were joking when they said that, but sometimes they really meant what they were saying. They were saying to another classmate, you loser, you're pathetic, get out of my face, you're repulsive. Some devastating words. Well, in Romans chapter 1, God teaches us that in every human heart, that is, in every human heart that doesn't know Jesus Christ as a Savior, there lives that devastating truth, that no one can completely erase or suppress, that devastating truth that bears witness from deep inside. You are wretched, you are naked, pathetic, and so poor. To those who don't know Jesus Christ, there is that voice that cries out from deep within. And you can't get rid of that no matter what. And why is that? Why does that voice speak so persistently, so unceasingly? Of course, not because people fail to meet up to the standards of middle school kids in the early 90s. That's not the reason why. But that voice lives, that truth lives inside the human heart. Because God tells us that all people living in this world right now who don't know Christ, they know that they deserve to die. They know that they deserve death for their sins against their Maker. Deep within, every single person, it doesn't matter which continent, every single person is aware of the truth that the God of the Bible is real. Not some generic God out there, but the God of the Scriptures is real. And they also know deep within the truth that they have deeply offended this God through their sins. They have broken His laws in the past through their words, thoughts, and deeds. And they continue to break His laws again and again. And they're arousing His anger and judgment in their lives. Everyone is aware of this, you see. To say it in Paul's language in Romans, they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. And they know that. And every single day, as long as people are alive, God doesn't allow anyone to fully escape from that truth, you see. God goes after them. God confronts them with the truth every single day that they're cut off from life and they desperately need to get life. God bears witness deep within their conscience daily, every single day. God runs after them. And so deep within, in every human being who doesn't know Jesus Christ, there is that awareness. I fall short. My life is not what it ought to be. And they know that because God Himself, the Master Communicator, is communicating that truth. And so they can't escape from that. They can never escape from that. And why is God doing that every single day? Is it to torture people? Is He a cruel God? No, it's the opposite. Paul said God's kindness is meant for repentance, and it is an expression of His kindness. You see, God wants people to recognize the problem so that people will seek for the solution. But God tells us in Romans 1 that so many people in our world, instead of facing the truth and running to Jesus, the truth, to find the solution, they choose to do something else, and that is in unrighteousness, with sinfulness. They're choosing to suppress the truth about themselves. They try to drown it out. They try to kill it. And just like their parents, Adam and Eve, they try to cover up their nakedness. They resort to fig leaves instead of turning to Jesus Christ, the true solution. Prosperity, success, physical beauty, fancy clothes, etc. There's so many false fig leaves out there. And they're trying to cover themselves up, but the truth abides. And what is that truth? Apart from Jesus Christ, they remain lifeless and naked. And wretched. The truth abides. Only Jesus Christ is the true answer. Only in Him is your nakedness, spiritual poverty, and wretchedness removed. And that's the reason why Jesus says to the churchgoers in Laodicea in verse 18, Jesus says to them, these people who may very well have been pretend Christians and not real Christians, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. What we need to realize is that everyone living in this world, both Christians and non-Christians, everyone knows deep inside the truth of their nakedness. Every single person knows that life doesn't reside within, but they need to get life. And deep within, there's that sneaking suspicion that life isn't to be found in the false fig leaves, but life must be obtained from another outside source. Everyone is aware of this, you see. But the thing is, that's where the similarities end. The great question is, who are you going to turn to? Where are you going to turn to? And that is a great fork in the road that separates every person living in this world. And for the church in Smyrna, they were turning to Jesus Christ. They were running to Him. And in Him, they found true clues, true riches. In Him, they found true forgiveness. And what happened in their lives? Because they found Christ and true love, Jesus Christ became their greatest treasure. Jesus became their pearl. And for that greatest pearl, they were willing to make extravagant sacrifices. They were offering their lives wholeheartedly on the altar. You see, they were living truthfully. Their lives were bearing witness to the truth. Only Jesus Christ is the deliverer. False fig leaves cannot deliver. Their lives were bearing witness in Him, and in Him only do you have true clothes, true riches, and true life. They were living in the truth. Now, the church of Laodicea, on the other hand, you know, they were feeling good. They were decked out in fig leaves. They were feeling pretty complacent. And as a result, Jesus Christ didn't become their greatest treasure. That is very obvious when we look at their lives. They had other treasures. They were bowing down before other gods. They had idols. Jesus wasn't their God. They were trusting in their fig leaves. They were trying to cover themselves up by bowing down before their fig leaves. How about you? Are you living in the truth? Has Jesus Christ become your great treasure? And so, as a result, are you sacrificing for Him joyfully and gladly because that change has taken place in your life? Are you living for Jesus the truth? Living joyfully and sacrificially. That is the mark of a person who has turned and run to Jesus Christ and received grace upon grace from Him. The grace of having your nakedness clothed, the grace of receiving true riches, and forgiveness, that is the unmistakable mark. Do you see that mark in your life? You see, everyone in this world, I don't care if you're a non-Christian, Buddhist, or whatever, everyone has a God or gods. Everyone worships. Everyone trusts in something. Everyone is turning to something. And whatever God or gods that they worship, they're willing to make extravagant sacrifices. Is Jesus your God? Is He the great treasure? Looking at a very truthful letter today, Jesus speaks the truth to us in an unflinching way. And Jesus does that today. Not to torture, but Jesus speaks the truth because Jesus knows that truth is what sets people free. And when you look inside your heart, and when you begin to realize, I haven't been living very truthfully, or perhaps even, I've been going to church all my life, but I've never lived truthfully, if that is you, I want you to listen to Jesus' invitation to you as I end today's sermon. Listen to what Jesus says to you. Verse 19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Turn away from your fig leaves. Behold, look, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. Please pray with me. God, we thank you for the truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus, we pray that if there are churchgoers who are not true Christians here, that you may give us the grace that we need to turn away from our fig leaves, repent, listen to Jesus' knocking, and open the door to Him so that He may come into our lives, transform it, and so that we may have true fellowship with Him. If there are those who are true Christians, But if there are those who have been walking very similar to non-Christians, we also pray that you would give us grace upon grace, so that we may live lives worthy of the calling, of the grace that we have received in Christ Jesus. This year, teach us to live truthfully, so that as a church we may become more healthy, faithful, and missions-minded. And we want to become such a church, of course, for your glory, but we also know that there are so many people in this world who are separated from Christ, and though they are naked, wretched, poor, pitiable, they're desperately and hopelessly resorting to fig leaves. And we want them to turn to Christ. We want them to find Christ. So, Father, equip us for every competent work through your word. May your living word abide in our hearts today, tomorrow, and in the coming weeks. And through the power that comes from your word, equip us to live truthfully as a church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.